Okay, guys, welcome to Truth. So, fighting the good fight. Got a interesting guest lined up today. Someone who's controversial across the board. She's even controversial within the 9/11 Truth movement. Judy Woods. I'm sure a lot of you know her, have heard of her. Has some interesting ideas regarding the downing of the towers. We're talking to her about that today, along with some of the latest developments that she has found. And regardless where you stand on the issue, I think she's someone whose voice needs to be heard. She presents some very interesting evidence that suggests that there was a lot more going on with the downing of the towers than what most people realize. Okay, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have our guest on, Judy Woods, done some fantastic research, regardless what many in the 9/11 Truth Movement say. She has done some fantastic research. Her website is just loaded with mind-blowing pictures, guys, from Ground Zero that present a picture of what went on there quite different from what most 9/11 truthers are aware of. There was a lot more devastation that went on there, and obviously a lot more powerful explosives that were unleashed, or perhaps something even beyond explosives that caused the pulverization of most of the material of those towers. Where did it go? You know, this is something that most people have failed to address or even recognize, but if you look at pictures of Ground Zero from that day, right after the buildings came down, there's nothing there. I mean, you would expect to see at least a couple hundred feet high piles, 200 plus foot piles of debris just stacked up, and yet it's not there. There's no piles. The things collapsed flat. In fact, you could see a hole. The holes in the ground from the sub-basement levels. Those holes should have been filled in, and there should have been piles stacked up again, at least 100, 200 feet high. Where did all this material go? All of Lower Manhattan was covered in 2 to 3 inches thick of dust. That's where it went. You know, you had your broken chunks of steel scattered here and there, twisted pieces of steel, but that doesn't account for, you know, where's all the sinks, the desks, the chairs, the tables? Every floor in those 110-story towers had multiple bathrooms and offices and, you know, where's the carpet? How does carpet disintegrate into dust? Carpet is very strong. It would have survived those collapses. You would have seen carpets all over the place. Where did they go? Anyway. With no further ado, let's go to Judy Woods. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry about that. We're having a lot of feedback trouble today. I don't know what's happening here.
And I was listening in fine, and then the sound really cut back, so I can barely hear you. And
yeah,
I don't
that's
what caused that.
The caller, can you hear me now?
Barely.
I just had a caller a minute ago that said the same thing, that he couldn't hear me. I don't know what's up with that. It could be
things were fine, and then they suddenly got quiet. This is just before you brought me on.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that any better?
No.
That's no better?
Nope.
Hmm. Can you hear me okay now?
No, it's same quietness.
That's really strange. Maybe there's something back in the studio that they can do to...
Yeah, there's some electronic change. It was a step function kind of change. Anyway, you made a good point about, what's left. Nothing left. And, yeah, how many bathrooms were there? There's quite a few bathrooms on every floor.
Right.
Don't you think we'd see a roll of toilet paper someplace?
You know, those iron sinks in the kitchens,
even all of the restrooms, you have lots of rolls of toilet paper. And we saw paper in the streets. So we know paper tend to survive. Why didn't toilet paper?
Yeah. You didn't see any of that?
You didn't see anything like that? You didn't see, like, faucet handles? You know there's plenty on every floor. Yeah, there's no desks. No chairs?
Well, you know, Louis Caccioli made that point. He said there was nothing there to indicate that buildings once stood there. He says if you didn't know what happened, you wouldn't know what was there. He said it just looked like a disaster area. Yeah, he said there was nothing that you could recognize except a half of a phone keypad. That's the only thing I saw, he said, that you could recognize.
Yeah, I remember he said, this big, and his fingers pretty close together.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So, I mean, what kind of energy could, you know, incur that kind of destruction? We're talking, you know, and again, the carpets, you wouldn't think so at first, but if you really stop and consider it, carpeting is very durable.
But that's a good approach. As, you know, folks often say, that, oh, Judy Wood is just, you know, throwing out wild speculations. Or we don't need to go to, you know, advanced weaponry. You know, why do we need that when we can just use, for whatever cause, explosives? You know, regular run-of-the-mill explosives off the shelf. I don't go to, you know, what do I know? What's in the closet of you know, possibilities? And then eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's say I only know about slingshots, firecrackers, and what's another one we can use? BB gun. Those are the only things I know about. So therefore, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which one brought down the towers? There's a slingshot, a firecracker, or BB gun. I don't know about anything else, so nothing else could have done it because I don't know about it. Instead, what I like to do is look at the evidence. The evidence will tell you what happened. And so far, what I've done is just eliminate what couldn't have happened. With Morton Reynolds, we talked back and forth for quite a while. There's no way you could have had a gravity collapse. So cutter charges or whatever from you know, regular controlled demolition, that still brings the building down by gravity. The building, you know, we didn't have a gravity collapse. You know, most of the time, controlled demolition, well, I think about every occasion I know of, they take out the supports at the bottom so you can pretty much drop the building on the ground and slam it to the ground. And that's what busts up the building.
Right.
I was recently watching the video of, I don't know if it's a PBS video, it's an Iron Workers clip, where they're showing how the towers were built and how the footings were made and so forth at the base. They made these slurry walls, and they dug down to the bedrock. And then they built this, you know, base on the bedrock and poured concrete all over it. So the footings were sitting on the bedrock, but they were also embedded in concrete all over the bedrock. So if you dropped a 500,000-ton building and slammed it down on the base, let's say... You know, folks are saying that's what caused all of the pancaking and dustification and so forth for every floor, was that, you know, one floor hit the other and so forth all the way down, and that's what broke up the concrete. Why didn't the concrete at the very bottom get broken up?
Is that what those buildings were estimated to have weighed, 500,000 tons?
500,000 tons.
So think of it, folks. You have two buildings side by side, totaling 1 million tons, and after they collapse and all of the dust dissipates, what do you have there? Nothing. Nothing.
And the base isn't even broken up. Concrete fractures easily. And if folks say that's why it busted up on the way, you know, the parts on the way down, you would think the biggest slamming would happen on the base. That concrete isn't busted up. You know, when they're cleaning up Ground Zero, you're left with these rectangular pads, you know, the footprint. So it was just this plain, you know, smooth concrete, and they'd sawed off the stubs of core columns and so forth that were sticking up from there. Why isn't that broken up?
Yeah. And at the same time, why do you have cars half a mile away on the FDR freeway there that have the paint burned or vaporized clean off? And those tires, the pictures you have of those, the wheel, the tire rims.
Oh, yeah, no, you see the steel belting.
Yeah, but no rubber. And no trace of the rubber. I mean, it's not like the rubber melted and dripped over. There's no rubber present at all. It's clean gone.
It's like it was selected
vaporized
based on the material.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what could have done that? I'm sorry, folks, but we're dealing here with some incredibly powerful whatever it was involved. Obviously,
the opposition then says, oh, the cars were towed. Well, even if you want to use that line and say they were towed, you still have to explain what happened to them.
Where'd the paint go? Where'd the rubber go?
But as for the towing issue, there is photographs. You know, you can imagine how many photographs I've collected. There's plenty of photographs from all around the perimeter of Ground Zero, from all, you know, around the complex. And you can see there's very few cars left. This is, you know, 2 minutes after the buildings are go poof. You have, you know, a couple of cars on Church Street, a couple of cars on Liberty, you know, a couple of cars on West Street. There's one little segment on VC Street where I don't have pictures from, right underneath the walkway that goes over to Building 7. So it's a, you know, four car length long, you know, stretch that I don't have pictures of. Now, how many cars can you fit on VC Street? If somebody wants to say that the cars were towed, you have 1,400 cars, toasted cars, at a minimum. That's as many as they owned up to, that they carted off. If you have 1,400
cars, if they're going to tow them, why would they just dump them en masse at random?
But more than that, if folks are saying that, oh, they were right next to the building, and then they towed them, how many cars can you fit on VC Street? Can you fit 1,400 cars on VC Street?
Well, I like that one photo. This was taken probably early afternoon, 9/11. They hadn't sweeped up any of the debris. You can see firemen rushing down the street. I mean, it was obviously right after the towers had come down. And there's a car that's flipped over on its back.
Yeah, there's several of them that were belly up.
And that wasn't towed. You know, they can't say that was towed. The dust wasn't disturbed at all.
Oh, yeah. I call West Broadway, I call that the swamp. It looked like a swamp with this gooey mess and the fire hoses and wet stuff.
Yeah.
But you have, also have flipped cars here and there.
Now, I've only
if the cars were towed, where were they towed from?
Yeah.
They were towed from adjacent to the towers because you can't fit 1,400 cars on one street.
Well, we know cars flipped. We have the testimony of Ann Thompson from MSNBC.
I should do a page of flipped cars. I've got a flipped car collection, too.
You know, I've only seen one picture of that. Could you possibly email me the pages that have those pictures, the exact page?
I've got them in various places, but I haven't collected them in one place, but that would be kind of a fun thing to do. I've got at least a dozen flipped cars. Different places.
Oh, wow. You're kidding.
My favorite one is looking at WFC1. That's just south of Liberty Street.
Well, if you could just send maybe a couple of those pages to me. The email address is truthhurtsradio@AOL.com, and it's H-E-R-T-Z, Hurts.
I can get it after the show, right?
Yeah, sure. I'd appreciate that.
It's interesting. That we're looking
By the way, mention your website so people can go and
drjudywood.com.
There you go.
drjudywood.com. No dots in the Dr. Judy Wood, just drjudywood.
Yeah, go, guys, you got to check these pictures out you got to see this for yourself. I mean, it's just
if you go to that site, I have my links for the various series. Clickable by pictures. And you can see where the billiard ball picture is. And then to the right of that, you see the directed energy weapons series. Below that's the dirt series. But in the directed energy weapons series, there's a picture of a car. You just click on that car, and you're taken to page 5 of the directed energy weapon series. Now, I felt the need to post that series before it was finished, because, you know, dead people tell no lies. They tell no truth. They don't speak. They aren't heard. So if I start putting it up, I don't have any secrets. That was my feeling. Right. So I posted this this stuff, but then I got busier and busier. There's still one page I really need to give attention to, but it's mostly finished. But if you go to that Tosi Carr page, you got a whole pile of Tosi Carr pictures down there. Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
And you can see those. Now, picture 65C, that's right near the Brooklyn Bridge entrance. You have what looks like mud all over the streets.
Yeah.
That has to be like the afternoon of 9/11, because they were very quick to clean up the streets. They were more concerned about cleaning up the streets than to look for survivors.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If you clutter the street with street sweepers, you can't get emergency vehicles through. But you could drive over this muck. But they covered the streets with these street sweepers. But if you go down and look at these cars, okay, you know, a car here, a car there, you can say, well, it's a car fire. But these were not adjacent to the WTC.
It sickens me because the excuse given for cleaning things up so quickly, haphazardly, without it being examined is, oh, yes, we were concerned about survivors. Well, that's ridiculous. How long could anybody have survived in that environment breathing those deadly toxins?
They could survive in it if they had survived 1 second.
Yeah, but the point is, even if there were, well, then they go on to say, oh, well we were concerned also about getting the
human. We had to get the emergency vehicles in there, and so that's why, you know, we had to take the cars out of the way.
But let's look at how concerned they were about getting human remains. They continued to find bones buried under the street en masse. I mean, big clumps of bones, sometimes whole bones, found by the dozens. They found two huge steel girders that were never removed, buried under the street. You know, they built a new street there. They recently tore up some of that area. And there it was.
Here's the question I have. So with these toasted cars and all, like the flip cars, they got rid of those within an hour or two.
Yeah.
They did not want people taking pictures of those.
Of course.
And like the cars on West Broadway, I called it the swamp, because it really looked swampy after the day was done. I've got a picture from, I guess, a day and a half later, where the street looks scrubbed clean with a toothbrush. And you see the toasted cars, but they're squashed and neatly stacked on top of each other in this pile of stuff where you can't really recognize that they were toasted cars.
Yeah.
If they looked like toasted cars, people would be scratching their head. There are also the toasted buses there, too. And that's mentioned in a lot of news clips. So they were busy scrubbing the street. Why did they feel the need to scrub the street? Well, if you start looking at the dust, this dust starts fuming up off the street. Like, you know, steam coming off of a manure pile. But why is it coming off the street? Is the street on fire?
Yeah, that was just a normal collapse due to the intensive fires. Yeah, 800. They admit the fires were 800 degrees, and yet they call them intensive. When it comes to anyways, short break, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to True Search Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Judy Wood on the line, talking about all the anomalies around Ground Zero and how the buildings could not just have undergone
a disappearing act.
Pancake. Yeah, exactly. Little pancake collapse. Astonishing what people can be led to believe. So, yeah, we've got the flipped cars, we've got the pulverization, we've got the...
fuming. I've got this new vocabulary, and on my dirt series, on the first page, I have a glossary. But the reason why I've chosen this new vocabulary is that if we don't know the exact process, by assigning a technical term to it, that's going to bias our observations. So if we just assign, quality A, quality B, quality C, that gets boring. So I have these other terms, like fuming. It looks like fumes coming off of something. But So the street's fuming.
I haven't noticed that.
What is that? People automatically assume it's smoke. But by assigning that term to it, you're going to bias your observation. So let's look at it. So they quickly cleaned up the streets. Why? Because the streets were fuming. How do you explain that away? Do you say there's molten metal running under the streets? Okay, so they scrub it up, and then you don't have that problem anymore. But what about the lawns?
I haven't noticed the steaming photos, too. I'll have to look for those. If you could send me one or two. Oh, wow, that feedback. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, they got good. I got some, realistic sound level for a moment there. during the break, I tried the streaming thing from the Internet, and I got the wrong show.
Did you go to republicbroadcasting.org?
Yeah.
And you clicked on...
There's a page where for listening, and there's like 32K, 16K.
Yeah.
I just clicked on the 32K, and I got somebody else talking.
Well, I know there's a delay. Maybe you got a commercial or something.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Anyway, about the fuming, that was an interesting aspect of things. Now, we were told right off about this molten metal, high temperatures. We were told about this over and over again, and people repeat it and repeat it, and they hear somebody else say it, and they repeat it. And whoever checked to see if it was real? It's just a rumor mill. It's an urban legend. You start looking at the actual evidence, it's inconsistent with molten metal or high temperatures.
Right.
You've been assuming it was, 600, 800 degrees or whatever it was. But people can't stand in an oven that's that temperature. If you are cooking cookies in your oven at 350 degrees Fahrenheit, how long can you hold your hand in that oven?
Yeah, and I love how, of course, you got the woman standing there in the gaping hole, and she's not looking the least bit uncomfortable from intensive heat.
Right, and you have these, rescue dogs and rescue workers all over the pile, and you have all this, quote, steam coming up. I call it fuming because we don't know what it is, and it sort of looks like, reminds me of a grill. Fourth of July, you have a grill.
You could send, copy one of those pictures, too. I never noticed that. I didn't know that it was...
If you go to my Dirt series, go to Dirt 4. I call it the grilled cheese sandwich picture. Because here are these guys working on the pile, and they're in the middle of this huge amount of steam and so forth. It looks like steam.
Yeah. Okay, I tell you what. Go another break. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back. Second hour with Judy Woods.